For us, we eat cheese inside and we're our own worst critics and we judge ourselves so harshly. But I always say the ultimate test is for us all to sit down with a glass of wine on a nice sunny day and eat a cheese platter. That's the true test for us.
Today on Dirty Linen, we are heading to country Victoria. We are getting out of town. I love hitting the open road. It is a rare privilege. We are going to Milawa Cheese Company, where we're talking to Cameron Rowan, the executive cheesemaker at that venerable institution. Welcome to Dirty Linen, Cam.
Thanks very much for having me. It's great to have a chat.
Yeah, it's so good to have you on the show. I love Milawa cheese. It's actually got a special place in my pandemic history, which is that right at the start of everything, like mid-March 2020, I was driving around Northeast Victoria doing a bushfire recovery story. And it was the weekend that the Grand Prix got cancelled and Melbourne Food and Wine Festival got cancelled and things were starting to hit the fan. And I just didn't know if I was doing the empty esky thing or stocking up for the apocalypse. But I did go home with a lot of Milawa cheese in my esky. So thanks for that.
I hope you enjoyed it. I hope it was all in good nick.
Definitely got me through a good few weeks of isolation. It does seem a very long time ago. So, look, I'd love to learn a bit more about you and about what you're doing there. Give us a bit of a lowdown.
Milawa cheese, what my role here and what I'm sort of doing here?
Or? Yeah. What have you just been doing this week?
This week's cool. We made truffle cheese this week, which is pretty interesting.
Wow.
The local farm last Thursday, I went truffle hunting on a local farm at about 30 minutes from where we are in Moyu, and found some truffles in the ground and hung out with some great locals from the area, and they gave us truffles for free for us just to experiment making some cheese. So almost 200 grams of truffle, which is a decent-sized truffle. But that's been super fun, so made some hard cheeses, which is going to take us about minimum a year to a year and a half before we get to try. I was a little bit more impatient, so I did make a few sort of semi-hard cheeses. We should be able to taste it around 3 months as well. So it was pretty exciting to be able to play with that much truffle, you know.
And so is that what you kind of do from week to week, like investigate, you know, what cheese to make? I'm sure there's like the classics that you have to keep production up with. Like what is your role there as executive cheesemaker?
Yeah, so we have Milawa cheese, we have our solid range. Milawa cheese is 33 years old, first of all, so to such a pioneer in the industry. So we've got like a few cheeses that are quite famous and well-known around the country. So we definitely, our week-to-week is keeping up with our national distribution. We've got a retail shop out here, which is extremely popular with being in the northeast Victoria at the moment with the snow traffic and things like that. And, you know, in a normal climate, we have quite a regular influx of tourists. So we have our shop is a huge part of our business, really, which is great to be able to sell a little retail. But we also have national distribution. So we're making around maybe 5 tonne a week of proper handmade specialty cheese, zero machinery. Like, we have vats and tables. It's about all we have. It's a special place to make cheese because it's 100% traditional. But we're not large, but when it comes to handmade cheese, we're on the larger side of such a labour-intensive product.
So is that so interesting, that sort of balance between the artisan approach but that, you know, quite reasonable scale. How do you balance that?
We have high, compared to a lot of businesses, we have very high labour costs, higher than most, that's for sure. But it's a part of the business model where, we work hard, super physical. Cheese making in general is such a craft, it's such a passion industry. It's something that if you don't love it, you won't do it. Like a lot of, I think, people in hospitality, a lot of these can be glorified and romanticized. You know, it's something, yeah, you really got to love the physicality of what we do. But, yeah, we just all work hard, really. I guess that's all I can say.
And where do you get the milk from?
All our milk comes from Northeast Victoria, all local milk. We usually get it from one farm. Sometimes it's maybe mixed milk of two farms. Our goat's milk comes from just outside of Mansfield, from Goffs Bay Goats Dairy, which is amazing, like third-generation goat farmers. Super close contact with those guys and farming practices. And Murray, the farmer, comes and drops his milk off every Wednesday, and we chat and conversate. And that relationship, with, especially with our goat milk farm, is super close, where we work together to build each other's businesses together. And that relationship's been, I don't know exactly how many years, but a long time.
That's so interesting. Yeah. With the, I mean, so with the cow's milk, would you be the exclusive purchaser of that farm's milk?
Probably not. I'm not sure. We have less contact with the farmer. We buy from a cooperative. It's sourced locally, but we don't have as much contact with the farmer as we would have liked. But we are very lucky to get milk from essentially just down the road. So it's super fresh every day when you get a delivery. So yeah, no, we can't complain with our cow milk supply.
Okay, cool. So it's a family business, Milawa Cheese. What took you there, and how has it been coming into a business that, you know, has had, yeah, been run by a family for a few decades?
For me, it's a great honour. Milawa Cheese, as I said, is 33 years old, one of the pioneers in Australian cheese industry. It started by David Brown and Anne Brown back in 1988. Back then, we really only made cheddar, and I think back then it was still red or white wine and things like that. So these guys started blue cheese in this country, washed rind cheeses, and I've been making cheese since I was 19 now, so I've been making cheese for 15 years. And I used to go to ASCA, like Australian Cheesemakers Association award nights, and see David Brown up on stage, and always had a bit of a fanboy for David Brown and Milawa Cheese. And so to take over such an established and well-respected business is an honour, really. It's something for me, Milawa Blue, which is one of our flagship cheeses, is one of my most favourite blues in the country, always has been. Same with King River Gold. It's something I've eaten for years, and to now have the chance to run it, like I said, it's an honour to come.
They really are iconic Australian cheeses. I love both of them as well. What happens when you go to make such iconic cheeses, where, I mean, I guess it's all about the consistency. Are you able to tweak things? Do you see things that you want done a bit differently, or is it all about upholding the heritage?
Yeah, it's definitely, as you said, it's about maintaining the long, long heritage of the cheeses that I've been in charge of making. But I have definitely been making tweaks on these things. Part of the reason I got brought in, because there were some issues with consistency and things like this. And so part of that was definitely adapting the recipes, often changing them quite a lot, following some pretty solid cheesemaking rules, but breaking the rules at the same time to sort of achieve what I needed to achieve here. Being such an old business, I am working in, it's quite an old, beautiful factory, this one. So we're running a microbiology environment with lots of microbes, and it's a very environmental-based craft cheese making. So my factory here at Milawa has its challenges, which is a great part of Milawa Cheese, and it's a great part of the factory. It's actually a huge reason why the cheese tastes the way it tastes, because of the age of the factory and the ecology found in the rooms. It's been a very amazing place to make cheese in such an old, historic factory. I'm very lucky to have a very large raw milk cheese making training over in Europe and places like this, which gives me great stead to be able to adapt to this new factory and to understand the ecology that I have here and respect it, really. Just respect what's here and be able to try to manipulate these environments and practice the art of like affinage in cheese making. There's sort of two different parts. There's the make, which is super important, moisture content and things like this, but then there's the affinage or the finishing of cheese, and I take a lot of pride in that. So it's a huge part of this job here is the affinage and the finishing of cheeses in these, I wouldn't say volatile rooms, but these rooms that have their challenges to control, I guess is a good way to put it.
I just love this sense of, you know, the room being such a character in the process. It makes me think of a sound studio, you know, some of the great albums have been recorded at, you know, these amazing places that really carry the history in the walls and in the way things bounce around to these rooms. It makes me think of that.
It's definitely what it is. Like, as I said, the molds and the flavors and the yeasts and the things that grow in this old sustainable built factory is just, it's, can be a pain sometimes, but it's also where some of the flavors that I get into these cheeses come from, exactly that, what's built inside these walls. And we're looking at doing some renovations soon because we sort of need to, and it's quite a big fear of ours that we're going to, well, it's something we have to balance, installing new equipment and things like that, but not changing the current ecology, because it's such an important part of what these cheeses have become over the years, you know.
As an experienced cheesemaker, can you walk into a room like that and get a bit of a vibe? Is there a smell or a feeling in the air, or is it something that you can really only appreciate what when you see how the cheese responds to it?
Yeah, it's like any craft. It's like you only know those things by doing it 1,000 times. So I've only been here for coming up maybe a year and a half, so it's been a steep learning curve understanding how these rooms work and how they change with the seasons. It changes so much, you know. This winter I got caught out a little bit, and things got wetter than what I wanted them to, even though I was here last winter, but last winter was the hottest winter we've had on record. So this winter was then coming into the coldest and wettest, and so it's definitely something I'm going to have to continue to learn how to manage these rooms. Definitely now, the more you know it, I can walk into a room and I know whether something's different or not. But it's definitely something I'm going to have to learn by being here, and I'm going to have to spend years and years and years. The operations manager and head cheesemaker was here for 24 years, I believe, before me. So he knew it. He knew it better than anybody. So it's now up to me to learn how this factory works and then try to teach that to our up-and-coming cheesemakers, and teach how important those kind of things are, which is an interesting thing to go through.
Mm. Is that what appealed to you about cheese in the first place? I mean, did you have a sort of mentor that taught you these things?
Yeah, definitely the craft, the actual fabrication side of things is what got me in when I was younger. Like, I started making cheese when I was 19. I met Jack Holman from, he's now Stone and Crow Cheese Company. I'm from the Yarra Valley, so I worked at the Yarra Valley Dairy for many years, and that's where it started as a young passion. But my true cheese making journey really started overseas, which I really started to understand what it was, and made cheese with some really, for me, it was raw milk. Making cheese through raw milk was a big part of my education and understanding how cheese works, where we're just operating a natural fermentation process. We're just allowing it to ferment and do what's already meant, what's inside the cheese, which is what raw milk is. You know, you don't need to add white mold to raw milk cheese. White mold will naturally grow, or you don't need to add the things we have to add making pasteurized milk cheese. You can make amazing cheese. We can do the same sorts of things, but just with raw milk is really where I learnt how to control that microbial side of pasteurised cheese making.
I mean, because of the regulations in Australia, we aren't really able to make raw milk cheese in the same way that's done, let's say, in Europe and indeed the US and really pretty much the rest of the world. But is there always a sort of, I mean, do you just have to put that aside, or is it still a bit of a frustration?
No, because you can make amazing cheese, and we make amazing cheese with pasteurised milk. It's just a different learning curve. And I feel I wouldn't be as good a cheesemaker as I am now if I hadn't have gone and made raw milk cheese and understood how it really works in a natural process. Not as though what we're doing is not natural. It's just it's very different. So, but like, we can make raw milk cheese in Australia now under some strict guidelines. But it is possible, and there are people doing it, which is very exciting. But yeah, as I said, with that said, like, some of the best cheeses in the world are still made with pasteurised milk. Even through Europe, there's still a lot of cheeses that are pasteurised and make amazing cheese.
So okay.
It is possible. It's possible. It just takes extra care and, I guess, knowledge to know how to recreate it.
So take us on your time, through your time in France and England. Where did you work? What did you learn? What have you been able to bring back from there to here?
I was really lucky. I went over to France and studied at a French technology school, which essentially, you're here for technology school, we go and learn how to be an electrician or a builder. But we can, over there, you can go to cheese technology school where, you learn how to make cheese. And when I say cheese, I'm talking like Comté and Roquefort and Morbier and, you know, the big 10, like some of the best French cheeses getting around. And this is like sit down classwork. Practical. So that was an amazing experience to have when I was super young. I was an annoying young, well, 21 year old, and I just wouldn't leave. I went over there for a 2-week course and, you know, kindly refused to leave. And I was lucky enough to get taken in by the English teacher who took me in and helped with the language gap and got me into school and allowed me to, I ended up living on campus in this French technology school. I didn't speak a word of French. I just nutted it out for a long time, and then through that school I got cheese placement out in the cheese Alps and spent months making cheese out in the down south, just about an hour out of Grenoble in the south Alps. And that was a huge part of my starting of understanding of cheese, making cheese down south and up in the mountains and living it, because cheese making, and it's a lifestyle. So that was where it's all good to be in a classroom and that kind of environment, but then to actually be on farm, like sleeping in the attic above the cheese factory, living the lifestyle, which is kind of what it's all about. It's farm life. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's something you've really got to attend to, and I suppose attend to very differently through the seasons as well.
Oh, absolutely. Especially up in the French Alps, it's minus 40 degrees and yeah, you're trying to, even just the, how the animals change in the seasons and all those kind of things. But yeah, those kind of techniques, was that's what I mean by operating a natural fermentation process, which broke all the rules that I'd learnt here in Australia. Learning how to make my own whey starters and yogurt starters and using techniques that I never dreamed possible. Like one of my great stories is there's a mold, or it's called microderm, and it's like a grey mold. In France, they just put a bucket of fertilizer, so it's poo, into the maturing room, which creates this grey mold under the cheese. Over here, it's just things like that.
You wouldn't really find a bucket of poo in the corner of your factory in Milor.
Just next level. Like, even their equipment, it all gets stored on the ground, and there's just, you know what I mean? It's just a complete eye-opener to what's possible when you say you've come from an environment so sterile and then you go to, the birthplace, and you see how, like you say, it's really done. It really opens up. But for me, my biggest – France was huge, and I've been there a few times and made different kinds of cheeses there. But England was where it really came to me, I guess, being able to speak the language – a lot more. I made cheese with a lady called Mary Holbrook in a little town called Timsborough in the south of England, just outside of Bath,
She's a goat milk farmer, and I lived on her farm for a year, and that was where it really clicked for me. Living on farm again, and just being totally in control of her factory, where she essentially, by that stage, I'd learnt more and I felt confident more with cheese, and she essentially let me do my thing there, and that's where I really understood. It was almost like a Matrix moment where it's like an epiphany where you understand what you need to do to be able to create the different flavors and the kind of starters you need to use. And that's because that's still how I make cheese to this day. So I'm still very instinctual. I feel like it's very instinctual in how things feel and touch, and like I just have to follow sort of what I think on in the moment, and seems to work most of the time.
I mean, I guess you don't know if your instincts were right, if you've gone down the right path until, you know, months or years later with some cheeses. I mean, what's that sort of waiting like?
Well, back in the day, it was a lot more painful than what it is now. I'm more confident with my skills these days. But, yeah, there's been some – I always call it, it's like the cheesemaker's night. So when you go home after a day's make, you because let's say like making any cheese, it's just usually a few days process, and pH and levels of acidity is so important, which is an overnight fermentation process. And you need to hit, say, a target pH, which doesn't give you a lot of range, say 5.1 to 5.3, you know, you need to hit it in that mark. And so you go and you sleep all night. And, of course, back in the day, I used to do my head in of a night time, hoping that I've done the right things and all this kind of stuff. But I'm pretty good at it now. I'm much better at it now, and I'm able to really develop solid recipes that I know have a little bit of leeway for those environmental and daily changes. And you know, in the modern day, we use a lot of temperature controlled rooms and things like that to help with that. But even like last week, you know, we had a stupid cold night, and then of course we came in, the pHs of all our cheeses are all high, so we had to wait 2 days to get them down. And still happens. We still get caught out in things essentially totally out of our control.
Is that what you love about it as well?
I love it. It's crazy. It keeps you on your toes, and you know, I think like any of those kind of things, love, hate sometimes. But no, that's what keeps us going, because it's exciting. It's like we feel like we have a part in how it tastes. It's not just operating a process, it's not just operating a simple process and we just do the same thing every day and we have no thought into it. It's like each day when there's a team of about three or four of us that really have a huge impact in it, and we just find ourselves conversating about it all the time and discussing things we're going to try next time. And our recipe, we've got a really good team here, and where it's really nice because right now we make amazing, great cheese, but we want to make better cheese again. So we call it fine tuning now. Now we're just fine tuning. They're making slight little changes to see what happens down the road in the 3 or 4 months time. So it's a super exciting place to be, and it's great to have that new spark. As I said, I've only been here for a year and a half, but you know, we're so keen and we're so, I guess, honored to take on this new challenge here at Miller with Cheese. And it's great to have that spark, especially I've got a whole team of new cheesemakers with no background in cheese, and they've fallen in love with it as well. And so it's great for me to have such a passionate team behind me, because without a team, I can't do it all by myself. Like, I need a team to sort of make as much as we make here, and especially with how hands-on it is. It's as traditional as it gets. Here there's zero machinery in this factory for making quite a large amount of specialty cheese.
Back in the day, like back in the Yarra Valley when you first got interested in cheese, I mean, what was it that sparked it for you? I mean, how did you become that 21-year-old that wouldn't stop asking questions even though he didn't speak French?
What was it? It was just the being able to – a big part of it was being able to share it, like essentially like the sense of reward of being able to do a physical manual work, but then to be able to sit down and eat it and enjoy it with friends and family. I always say it's like, because for us, we eat cheese inside and we're our own worst critics and we judge ourselves so harshly. But I always say the ultimate test for us all to sit down with a glass of wine on a nice sunny day and eat a cheese platter, because that's the true test for us. where, because in factory, in the white walls and the environments we're in, it's a different taste, but you need to. So that was a huge part of why I fell in love with it. I was very proud of what I was able to create, which is a huge part of why I fell in love with it. But also the craft, like it's such a great thing to be able to manage this. It's like magic. We get milk in the morning, by the afternoon we've got these sort of solid curds, and then the next day we have a firmer mass, and then it's the only way I can describe it. I still feel like 15 years down the track, it's still like magic every day, and I just can't believe what we're able to achieve from milk and the same four ingredients every day. It's a mesmerizing career and path. Yeah, it's a really great craft.
Do you feel like we're sort of at a pretty exciting point in Australian artisan cheese making, with, you know, the Castlemaine Cheese School opening up? As you say, some people are making cheese with raw milk. I mean, do you feel like this is a bit of a new era?
Oh, it's been a new era for a while now. Like back from when I started, it's grown so much, so much. And just our education's grown so much. We're passionate people all over Australia learning how to make cheese. And of course, we're behind the eight ball. We're such a new country where, you know, it's going to take us time to learn, but it's a super exciting time. The cheese that's coming out of Australia now is great. There's a lot of fantastic cheese getting made by passionate people, putting the time and effort into what it takes to develop that craft. And like I said earlier on in the conversation, it's a craft that has to develop over years and years and years, because things change and adapt. So the only way to become great at these things is to do them for a large amount of time and try different things. So it's such a great journey to be a part of. So yeah, I think it's a super exciting time. And like, yeah, the raw milk thing in Australia is super exciting because it's the ultimate expression of our land and our terroir. Whatever the word is, it's a great expression of what Australia's soil and our air and our cows are. And I've made a lot of raw milk cheese in this country with our milk, and it's next level. It's delicious, and we're going to see that more and more and more as time goes on, which is a super exciting. It's just great. That's why I always say Australia's like still like an El Dorado. We still have a chance to create and invent new cheeses that have never been made before, because we're so young, and it's a great place to make cheese.
Do you have ambitions to do raw milk cheese at Milawa?
Yeah, I had a conversation with our CEO the other day about it. We have a pasteurized milk factory, so there's still a lot of hoops you have to jump through. But yeah, we're exploring the option and seeing whether it's possible for us to do so. Something that we would like to, yeah, both. My Cridwyn Brown, who's the daughter of David Brown, the founder, is such a passionate cheese lover and expert, cheese expert. And she just encourages us to do whatever we need to do or want to do. It's such an honour to make cheese with her. It's kind of a reason why I came to her, Miller, really, because she is such a cheese geek and wants to make the best possible cheese possible. It doesn't matter about whether it's exactly viable or things like that. She just wants it to be the best, which is such a great place to work, where your CEO is just make the best cheese you can, and she's involved and in the factory and helps us. And but yeah, you know, together with my knowledge and having the backing of someone like that, anything's possible for us, really.
I remember doing a video shoot in the northeast, in the high country, a couple of years ago, and Kerridwen came out. She was going to supply some cheese. We were filming on the river with Frank Kimura from Movida, and so she was going to bring a cheese board, but basically, like, she'd filled up a car with cheese and it just kept coming out, and just basically filled a whole table. It was just incredible. But I think the thing that really shone through, apart from the amazing cheese, was just the pride and the joy in sharing it.
Yeah, like the whole family, the Brown family, like I said, from her father and her mother being such pioneers, and it's still been a family business now, passed down to Cribbin, and Cribbin just carries that on, you know. I'm not going to say stronger, but, you know, the same passion towards it. Just because it's not always the case that you've got you know, your boss or your CEO, the person who owns it, just to be pretty much constantly like push the bar, like age cheese as long as we can, try different things. We're very lucky to have someone like that allowing us to do what she would do, just to do what we do. But like, because Caribbean has her own cheese knowledge herself, she's an affineur of cheese, spent many years overseas herself exploring the range. So I look forward to what her and I can create together as cheese lovers and cheese geeks.
What sort of impact has the pandemic had on you? I mean, it's you know, producers have to keep producing, of course, which is brilliant, but you're quite close to the New South Wales border there, and as you say, the cheese factory's got this large retail arm, and you know, there's always buses coming in and out, or in normal times there are. Like, how has it impacted you?
Yeah, it's been like you said before in the conversation again, we're making cheese 3 months, 3 to 6 months in advance or a year in advance. And then when coronavirus shuts us down, especially in the beginning, it's been a roller coaster ride of production planning and throwing cheese in the bin and, you know, things getting too ripe and then not having enough because it kicks back off again. And for us, it's been having to adapt and develop new ways, like online sales has been a big thing for us, and starting our own cheese club to try to be able to give the consumer the cheese in the best quality, where we can just sort of essentially choose when we can get it to them. And that's what Cheese Club is for us, where because we have control on when the customer is going to get it, we can get it to the customer in the greatest condition. And I think that's the hardest part of our job, is to get the cheese to the people, you know, when it's ripe and ready and perfect. And developing ways like our cheese club that's going to be able to allow us to do so. So just adapting with the times. And but yeah, the border closures here has just been, we're so close to New South Wales border, and it's been huge. The snow not being able to, you know, the snow traffic and the mountains being shut down and reopened and things like that, it's continuing every day to be a huge challenge. But we're lucky to have support of our local community, like the Northeast Victorian community is amazing, and our local wholesales picked up, you know, a huge amount with people supporting the local businesses and trying to get rid of stock, and other online platforms and kind of things stepping in, and cheese therapy and these kind of things helping with taking cheese as well. And you know, all of our national distribution customers and everybody's been super supportive and trying to help where they can. There's like the place called the Mould Collective that do the Mould Festival, support Australian cheesemakers and take the cheese that we need to get rid of, and are constantly just trying to help as much as they can to help us, really.
Yeah. Oh, that's good. I mean, it's, I guess at least, you know, everyone's had to innovate, and I suppose if you come out of all of this with, you know, a great online community and new retail opportunities and wholesale opportunities, then I guess that's good. But it does sound, I mean, the idea of putting cheese in the bin, that just sounds very heartbreaking. But at the same time, I can imagine it, the fact that, you know, you've get to do this very magical, natural process of turning milk into cheese. I mean, it must be nice to be able to, perhaps not turn your back, but to turn away from all the commercial side of it and from the coronavirus in general and just make some beautiful cheese.
Yeah, that's it. Heads down, bum up, as they say. And like, you know, just even saying what I said then, it's like a big positive part of what's happened is it's brought everyone together, and to have the support of, you know, your distribution chains and these different online people that have put their hands up to try to help, and people are there to help, and there's a lot of positive in it as well that comes from such a pandemic. And you know, with every great down there comes a great up in life, and I think there's a lot to learn from that. And you know, it's been sometimes overwhelming, the support we've had.
That's beautiful. Well, Cam, do you want to finish by telling me about a cheese that I should really get my mouth around?
Yeah, I haven't thought about this one. We just made a cheese called Cooper for the birth of Caribbean's new baby. It's like a semi-hard cow's milk cheese with marbled with grapevine ash. It's just something that I learned how to make in the south of France, and it's different. It's really its own creation. It's sort of like high lactic acid in the beginning, but then turns into this like burnt caramel butterscotch with this like subtle characteristic flavor. So yeah, Cooper's been a really great cheese that we've created here. And like for anyone listening, if you haven't tried Millawa Blue or our King River Gold, there, before I even made cheese here, they were both in my top three cheeses in the world. After eating cheese in the world, I think they're both outstanding. And yeah, if you haven't tried something like that, give it a go, because it's really something next level. It's definitely made in this country, that's for sure.
Brilliant. Well, thank you so much, Cam. It's been really awesome to catch up with you. I've got a new cheese to try. I'm very excited about that. Yeah, thanks so much for giving us the word from Millawa today.
Yeah, it's been great. I've really enjoyed it. Thanks, Heath, for having us on and supporting us again through this.
Yeah, no worries. Take care.
Well, you have a great day.
This is Dirty Linen and I'm Danny Vallant. We air the issues that the hospitality industry finds hard to talk about, hearing from different people with unique perspectives. We want to hear from you as well. If you have something that needs to be said about a topic, get in touch so we can include your perspective. Contact us at dirtylinen@deepintheweeds.com.au or hit us up on Insta @dirtylinenpodcast. We can't wait to hear from you.